Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Audio Labs.
This is in contact with the test one.
All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Leonardo Space Art, Science and Culture. All women crew, recorded in different pods on spaceship Earth. March to April 2020. Weightlessness or gravity?
Hi, my name is Michelle Hanlon, and I find this a fascinating question, and I've really had a difficult time answering. I think I'm a scuba diver, and so I'd love the feeling of being close to weightless in the water, the ability to, I'm also very clumsy, so the ability to turn somersaults, to float, at different depths in the water is really uplifting. Being in a state of weightlessness lets you think about things and your interaction with physical objects in very different ways. And so I find the concept of weightlessness and what it could do, to experience it would be really fantastic. By the same token, I am a space lawyer, and so I do understand the horrible effects that weightlessness can have on the human body and how debilitating it can be. And so if we're going to speak from a very practical sense, gravity makes sense and we actually need it for our bodies to perform in the way they're supposed to, where, we need to have the blood flowing properly through our circulation and through our system. And so I'm going to cheat a little bit with this question of weightlessness or gravity. And I want to say that everybody should, I would think, be able to experience weightlessness and certainly along with the concept of weightlessness, the perspective of being able to look back on Earth. But I think that, from the purely practical legal standpoint, we need gravity in order to function as humans. Earth is our home. We are used to this gravity on Earth. I think we will always cherish the comfort of that gravity and always have it, no matter what planet or system or space object, spacecraft we may be on. It's going to be that sense of gravity that binds us to this Earth that will bind us together as human beings.
All women crew, recorded in different pods on spaceship Earth.
Yelizaveta Glukova. When I started thinking about this question, about which one, weightlessness or gravity, I should choose, the choice somehow felt quite odd to me. It's like if I was asked to choose between rain and weather. They're incomparable, because one is just a particular case of the other. And the same happens with weightlessness and gravity. We all know that gravity is a phenomenon by which things with mass or energy are brought towards one another. And this phenomenon exists universally. Even when the gravity equals to zero, it doesn't stop existing. So in fact, when human body experiences weightlessness, it doesn't mean there is no gravity. It means that we just don't know what we are gravitating towards. When we are on Earth, gravity gives weight to physical bodies, but at the same time, we are still exposed to many other gravitation forces. They are just negligible comparing to the planet force. But if you imagine, let's say, two bricks drifting in space far enough from all large mass bodies, they will inevitably start gravitating towards one another. So if you look at the question from that perspective, from the perspective of knowing and not knowing, I think I would choose for knowing. As much as weightlessness seems an exciting experience, a certain freedom that we seek so much here on Earth, it is also a great limitation. We are deprived of control, of freedom of will, and have to obey those unknown forces and drift towards uncharted territory.
Mina Longström. Well, I think people involved in missions that aim to land and operate a vehicle on another planet or asteroid do take a deep sigh of relief when the spacecraft is finally sticking to the ground by the gravity of the final destination. For the documentary The Other Side of Mars, I interviewed many scientists and engineers working in various roles at the Mars missions. It was really interesting to hear their thoughts on finding life on Mars and possible human presence there in the future. Most of the people I spoke to perceive the rovers currently on Mars as extensions of us on the planet, with capabilities we define. Astrobiologist Dawn Sumner discussed the role of planetary protection when sending rovers to Mars, which means sterilizing and trying to remove as much as of the organic microorganisms as possible from the rovers to not contaminate the planet when arriving. Compared to us humans carrying trillions of bacteria, robots are a far less intrusive way of exploring space. The navigators of these rovers might understand the concept of gravity on Mars the best, as they are the persons involved in driving the rovers in the terrain. The images we look at don't alone provide all the information needed to drive the rover safely. One has to understand the characteristics of the rover, the weight and other physical properties, in order to know how the environment will affect it. The people who operate the rovers do develop quite a fascinating understanding of the Martian environment, including its gravity, and I would say that that understanding of the Martian environment comes the closest to being there we currently have.
Celebrating women in art, astronautics, and astronomy.
Fliss Holland. I wrote a short story for the Decline issue of Contour Journal. Sci-fi, S-I-G-H, not S-C-I, tells how a reduction in apparent gravity causes the experience of depression to become visible and measurable. The full audio is available at soundcloud.com/FELHOLNE. It began as a joke, a facetious reply to the question of what was keeping us down. Yet there was clearly something about us, inherent to us, that cancelled out the upwards force affecting everybody else. Was our misfiring self-defense mechanism actually doing something useful for once? We began to wonder whether the weight of depression had become more than a metaphor. But the lightweights, as we called the rest of them, they adapted to the reduced gravity far more easily than anticipated. Their headaches and dizziness abated within days, and they used bottled oxygen to compensate for the hypoxic air. It didn't take long for their funny walks to subside either, which was a great pity in terms of our personal entertainment. A burgeoning confidence in their own abilities meant that many of their plans were soon redundant. Specially weighted vests designed to aid locomotion were cumbersome and soon discarded. Proposals to redistribute depressives within the general population as a cost-effective way of bringing whole areas down never got past the planning stages. By and large, everybody settled back into familiar routines. Weaker gravity became the new normal, and with this, the benefits of being weighed down by depression faded away. Not to us, it didn't stop acting as a balancing force. But now that the lightweights had adapted to their fluidity, our stable movements came to look laboured in comparison. The facticity of depression remained indisputable, for which we were profoundly grateful. however, the translation of its abstract nature into something more palpable, something measurable, was a double-edged sword. We had pleaded so many times that our debilitating illness be treated as seriously as the brute reality of a broken leg. But now that it was on the same level, we saw the flaws in our argument. A complex whole was reduced to a single physical sign, and our internal distress slid back under the radar. In an impressive display of dissonance, the fact that we could now perform most manual tasks was used to argue that we were fit to work, and many of us on sick leave had it abruptly revoked. The old hierarchies and power disparities were re-establishing themselves with ease, swinging back into place with flagrant disregard for equilibrium.
1, 0, and lift off!
All women crew, recorded in different pods on Spaceship Earth.
Yulia Akisheva, well, don't we just all want what we can't get? So I go with weightlessness. And not only because I have never experienced it yet, really. Weightlessness in its proper sense. I mean, how cool is that? But also because I'm thinking, actually, it's harder to create weightlessness for a long period of time. So, you know, if we were on a starship and going somewhere far, far away for a long time, we could theoretically create gravity, right? There are theories and there are sketches and there are ways to create gravity artificially. It won't be Earth gravity, but it could be something sufficient enough for us to train our bodies and just feel gravity again. So we've all seen it in sci-fi movies, right? I suppose as an engineer, I'm inclined to believe that we could see something like that happen in the future. To create weightlessness for a prolonged period of time, well, that's a bigger challenge. Today, we can simulate weightlessness or reduced gravity for astronaut training, and we have zero gravity flights, parabolic flights, and that is already very amazing as well. It's such a great achievement. But we couldn't envision it, at least not today, something like a weightlessness experience on Earth for a month. We have experiences with bed rest studies to see the effects of our bodies adapting to weightlessness, but I bet it's not the same as the real deal. So, being a little bit of a romantic of space and just really wanting to experience it, I would weightlessness.
Celebrating women in art, astronautics, and astronomy.
My name is Hélène Bénaïm-Drieu. Je suis docteur en sciences et donc cette question m'interpelle. Cette question m'amène à toutes les recherches qui sont faites dans la Station Spatiale Internationale sur la relation au corps.
For me, this question relates to all the researches that are undertaken in the International Space Station about the relation of a lack of gravity on the body. At the French Space Agency, we are specialists on space physiology. We have done a lot of researches about the influence of gravity on the body and on the brain. And for instance, we have discovered that space and the way we perceive space is linked to a specific zone in our brain that is related to gravity.
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.